Hello, and welcome back to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Dan Pacella, your host, lead investigator, co-founder, Orange County, New York, Paranormal. And it's been really interesting the last couple of weeks. We've gotten a lot of new listeners to the podcast, a lot of downloads, more over the last month than the previous, 4 months combined. So thank you so much to all the new folks who are here. To those of you who've been with us from the beginning, thank you as well. If you're new to the festivities, please make sure to subscribe, rate, review on whatever platform you are listening to us on. There is also a video version of this that will be on our YouTube channel and on our Facebook page. If the dulcet tones of my voice are not enough, you can actually see my beautiful, perfect for radio face on our YouTube and Facebook page for the video accompaniment of this. We are also now on TikTok, even though we haven't done much with it yet. Upcoming, we are going to be doing more with it. So check us out, Orange County, New York Paranormal on TikTok. You can find us in all of these places as we continue to bring these relatable paranormal conversations and all of our paranormal investigations to you. And of course, if you're checking us out through YouTube, through our Facebook page, make sure to follow us, like us, subscribe, and on YouTube, make sure to hit that bell because whenever we put out a new video or a new podcast video, you'll get that notification. So thank you, everybody. Now that I think I've plugged all of our social media outlets, I want to talk about today's topic because it's, to me, has been a fascinating thing. Something that's been on my mind since we actually started this. And it was one of the first experiences I had when we started this where it was dealing with these kind of questions. But whether it be through email, through social media, through events, we are always getting questions, not just about the paranormal and the spirit world, but also about UFOs and Bigfoot. And I've always wondered why. Like, why are we getting those questions? It's mystified me for years as to why these three fields seem to be connected. So in today's episode, let's take a deep dive into these three fields and why exactly they appear joined at the hip of paranormal studies. Now, I said I've been dealing with these questions and since day one, and I mean it literally. The very first day we had our email address, the very first email we ever received was about a UFO. And we live in a part of New York where occasionally the Goodyear blimp will dock at an airport not too far down the road here. And the email I received that day was about how the Goodyear blimp is actually been sent by the government to obstruct a flying saucer that's flying just behind it. And that's fine if you believe that. I'm not questioning that. Who am I to judge? Look what our hobby is. But I thought it was weird that I'm like, why are you emailing a paranormal group about that? And I thought to myself, you know what? It's isolated. This person was looking for answers or for validation or for whatever they were looking for. I wrote back very politely. It's really not our field of study and so on and so forth. But it's not isolated. When we do events, especially upstate New York, like we'll do bonfire events in different places, the conversation invariably turns to Bigfoot. Whenever we do any kind of group event, or if you go on Facebook or on social media, the conversation always goes to like UFOs. And for us, it's more so because we're not that far from Pine Bush, New York, which is like the UFO capital of the state. Just they have a UFO festival there every year. And there's even a group of paranormal enthusiasts that have a monthly meetup 5 minutes from our house. And I've never gone to it. And it's not because I'm not friendly. It's not because I don't like meeting other people. It's not because I don't like meeting other investigators. It's just every time I think about going, I go on the site to see what they're going to be talking about, and invariably it's something to do with Bigfoot, something to do with UFOs, and definitely not to do with paranormal, which is spiritual, world, the ghost hunting and paranormal investigations, and that's where my passion really is. But these, you can't deny that to this day, and it will continue as long as we are doing this, these three fields are just connected in a way that has mystified me for a very long time. So firstly, as with almost every conversation about phenomenon in the paranormal world, it all goes back to paranormal television. I think that's where it starts. There are so many shows devoted to these things. I mean, we've talked about how many paranormal shows there are. There are so many shows on hunting a Bigfoot or the missing link or a Sasquatch. And there are a ton of shows about UFOs. I've actually watched what I used to enjoy as more scientifically geared astronomy programs sort of evolve into UFO and UFO stories and UFO conspiracy over the years. And even the paranormal, the ghost hunting paranormal investigation shows, many of them have done an episode or two around the idea of UFOs, around the idea of a Bigfoot and investigating that and going to a place where it is, you know, supposed to happen or supposed to occur or supposed to exist. My issue with that is not, again, has nothing to do with the fields. My issue with that is, once again, as I discussed in a previous episode of the podcast, it just lends to that idea that we as paranormal investigators are jacks of all trades and we just know about everything and we are qualified to investigate everything. I'm more qualified to perform a hip replacement than I am to go hunting a Bigfoot, and I'm not qualified for either. I have no knowledge going in. I don't have a lot of knowledge about UFOs. I got plenty of knowledge about the paranormal because that's my passion. That's what we study. That's what we love. But there are a lot of people who have experts on these things in their paranormal groups, too. And I'm talking about people like us who have no... There's nothing on our website, there's nothing on our social media that states this is something that we do, and something that we pursue, something that we're into. And yet, constantly with questions regarding it. And paranormal groups are not jacks of all trades. We are not. If you're a jack of all trade, you're a master of nothing. And we're not lucky enough to have members who are experts in all three of these different fields. But that's just it. Three different fields that require three different levels of expertise, research, knowledge, and, to be honest, investigative procedures and tools. So if it's on television, of course, it's popular. It's popular. It sells. And if something gets views or gets profit or gets ability to really get a movement behind it, you're going to have shows doing it. You're going to have people doing it. And, you know, the field of paranormal is very unique because, as opposed to most things, it's about what each individual person believes. And what I mean by that is I could show you hours of light anomalies, hours of EVPs, and a ton of photos of mist anomalies and what we felt were, you know, moving shapes and mist. But if you don't believe in spirits, it's a moot point. Fake news, right? You have to believe what you're seeing in order to buy it. And it's funny, it's one of the main reasons that I don't understand how there are paranormal groups out there who charge for investigations or charge for their services. I don't know what you're charging for, because it all comes down to the consumer believing what you're selling them, because if they don't believe it, it has no value, therefore there's no price attached to it. You can't sell something that has no value. And if somebody doesn't believe in the paranormal, there's no way to attach any kind of value to that. And, you know, when we talk about the kind of consumer that these television shows and all these extra things are going to, that's the kind of consumer. So there is a similarity between the people who consume paranormal television as it pertains to a Bigfoot, and television as it pertains to UFOs. And I'll tell you, based on the TV coverage, the articles, and the YouTube videos I have seen recently, man, UFOs are on a comeback. And it's been a fascinating topic to a lot of people recently. As it pertains to UFOs, I'm always reminded of a quote by Arthur C. Clarke, who wrote 2001 A Space Odyssey, 2010, and the lesser-known 2061 and 3001 novels. Of course, most people are familiar with 2001 A Space Odyssey, the movie. Read the book. Book is way better than the movie, which is most often the case. So Arthur C. Clarke said, there's two possibilities that exist. Either we are alone in the universe, or we're not. And both are equally terrifying. And I love that quote. It's an amazing quote. And if you think about it, quite true. But the reason why UFOs, as I said, are on a comeback in terms of the world and being more top of mind than usual is because all of the coverage that those congressional hearings got when they talked about UFOs. And man, you got to be careful. This is a theme of this episode is be careful where you're getting your information, because when you actually go to reputable places, and we could have a debate for 20 years about what is reputable and what isn't, but I'm talking about mainstream, trusted articles, places from like the Smithsonian and actually folks who actually are doing their due diligence. It really wasn't as straightforward as it makes it sound. If you read some things like, oh, the government sat there and said Klingons exist. No, that's not really what happened. And a lot of these articles, they like to take two and two and come up with seven. And that's what's happened with a lot of this. A lot of that stuff that was done in Congress was more about national security issue, more about worrying about drones being flown. You know, we're not worried about Independence Day. They're worried about China and Russia flying drones over us, and these things are the unidentified flying objects. There's been real no evidence of reverse engineering and alien technology, and it's okay. And it's okay to accept both sides. Sure, you know, the guy didn't stand up there and say, yes, there are aliens. Can you still believe they exist? Absolutely. It's okay to accept both arguments as completely possible. But regardless of what you believe, it's not unreasonable to conclude that there must be or have been alien civilizations out there. It's also reasonable to conclude that we'll never ever encounter any of them. Think about the Fermi paradox. The Fermi paradox is an amazing series of thoughts and conditions and ideas as to why, you know, where is everyone? If there's aliens all over the place, why haven't we encountered any of them? And I'm going to do cliff notes on it here, but I think it's worth considering because, again, there can be aliens and we just haven't run into them yet. And, you know, first of all, the first planets beyond our solar system were only discovered in the 1990s. You know, this means we've barely scratched the surface of studying other worlds. Carl Sagan once said that we have stuck our toe in a cosmic ocean. And that's it. We've put our toe in the Pacific Ocean in terms of what there could be out there. But even then, consider the distances. I mean, making the journeys between these things is and then beyond that, consider the distances involved. These things are really far apart. The planets in our solar system are ridiculously far apart. So think about it. Our closest star system is Alpha Centauri, which is 4 light years away. So speed of light, take you 4 years to get there. Light takes 8 minutes to get from the sun to us using the same light speed. The distance to Neptune is, in comparison, about 5/1,000,000 of a light year. It took the Voyager space probe almost 20 years to get there. In fact, the Voyager space probes, they're going into interstellar space, but they are still gravitationally bound to the sun. That's how far apart this stuff is. So even it would take us decades to even get to the closest star. So the idea that, you know, a civilization with a similar age as ours, and we're not that old. The Earth isn't that much older than we think the universe is. The sun is not that much older than we think the universe is. We've had a lot of time, and we've only gotten this far. So the idea that, you know, civilizations may not have had time to evolve to that point, but if they did, they likely came by when we weren't here. Because we've literally been here for a blip of the existence of the Earth. When you think about it, and you think about time, and you think about the fossil record, human beings have not been around a long time. And the odds in those enormous distances, in that great expanse of space, that they got, we got the right place, right time for an alien ship to come by and go, hey, look at them, they're there. What the Fermi paradox really shows you is that's really, really, really tough in terms of timing. Some other aspects of the paradox that are fascinating is that it is likely that life is simply so rare that the chances of two intelligent species being positioned close to each other is exceedingly slim. And if you think about there, that, the science bears that out a little bit. I mean, we've discovered, I think it's over 3,000 exoplanets. None of them have any evidence of having intelligent life. And we could debate how intelligent life on Earth is, but we'll just call ourselves intelligent life. Makes us feel better, if nothing more. And, you know, the more somber suggestion on that is that we're alone in the universe. You know, that life on Earth is just so unlikely to happen that this is the only place that it actually did. And if you go back in time and you look at the things that had to happen to the Earth for us to be here right now, you know, the moon, for example, plays such a huge role in the fact that we can live here. The moon, when the moon was formed, however you believe the moon was formed, it stabilized the rotation, it stabilized the tilt of the Earth. It allowed for seasons. And for life to evolve, you need stability. So the moon gave us that stability. Well, the moon is ridiculously large compared to the planet it orbits. Think about all the other planets in the solar system. Only Pluto, and Pluto's a dwarf planet, has a moon that's even close to the, you know, size ratio of the planet. And Pluto's more of a binary system anyway. And actually, there are astronomers who think Earth is a binary system. The moon is the size of Mercury. I remember reading an article where it said if an extraterrestrial life form came to our solar system, the moon's size relative to the Earth would be the most unusual thing they would see and probably the first thing they would notice. So we're not seeing a lot of exoplanets that have this scenario. Now, is this the only scenario where life can evolve into what we are? No, I'm sure it isn't. Who knows? But again, if it is so rare, I don't like to think we're alone. It's a lonely thought. But it's a somber option. It is something that is possible to happen. But there's a final concept in that not only serves as what I feel to be a very reasonable explanation, but also a warning. And it's called the Great Filter. And the Great Filter is a concept that catastrophic events, either man-made or natural, can cause intelligent life to be extinguished on a habitable planet before they have a chance to extend their reach and to become technologically able to explore the system. These events can be things like solar flares from the sun, or climate change, or asteroid impacts, which happen here on Earth a lot, or perhaps something of the planet's own doing, like a nuclear apocalypse. That's a little depressing, but if you think about it, I mean, if the world today feels like our fingers an inch away from the button all the time. And this idea of the Great Filter means that, yeah, if there are other civilizations like us, they're killing themselves before they can get to the point where they're technologically and intellectually advanced enough to not only travel the universe, but to be able to figure out how to do so in a way that allows them to live long enough to do it, and to be strong enough from a physical sense and a mental sense to do so. The Great Filter is a food for thought. whether you believe the paradox or not, I think those are some very interesting points. And please read up more. I gave you the Cliff Notes. If you're interested in that, go on to go do research on that, because there's a lot more to it than my bullet point summary. But I did want to talk about that because it's such an interesting angle on the concept of UFOs and on alien life, and if we're ever going to experience, encounter it, or maybe if we just happen to miss it. Shifting back to our planet, on the ground anyway, there's the whole mystery of Bigfoot or Sasquatch or Yeti or whoever. It's captivated people for generations. And to the point that, you go through history, there are so many instances where somebody captured something or somebody found a missing link frozen in a box, frozen in ice, and they displayed it. And it's interesting when you do some research on that, you realize how many of those folks were shysters. We'll talk about that in a second. But the thing I thought was interesting is when looking at stuff, there are so many pictures and videos out there of, Sasquatch, Bigfoot sightings. I find it interesting that even the newer ones are still in low quality that look like they were shot from a 1980s camcorder. Given the fact that we all have 4K cameras pretty much in our pockets these days, I found that really, really interesting. It's funny, there's some theories on that. One is that it doesn't exist. Two, if it's a living being, it has a lifespan. And perhaps, if there's one, if there's a couple, who knows? Perhaps it's no longer with us. And that's why the video footage is just all older. But that is interesting that we have 4K video of UFOs. All the video we do on paranormal investigations, 4K full spectrum cameras. The Bigfoot stuff still looks like it's shot on 8mm. But the other problem you have, especially with the Bigfoot studies, is there's a lot of fakery. There's a lot of it. And that hurts so much. It hurts every field in it. The more people fake, the less people actually buy into the real stuff when they see it. The paranormal world deals with it. The study of UFOs deals with it. And the world of people who are trying to hunt this elusive creature, it hurts them, I think, the most. But a lot of people do it. And why? Because they get millions of hits. That's why. There's thousands of views, and which prompts less honest people to fake them for views and hits and profit, which, as I said, it cheapens all the fields. It cheapens the paranormal, it cheapens extraterrestrial, it cheapens the whole concept and investigations of crypto hominids, which is what Bigfoot falls under in terms of what that's classified as. It's a hard word to say, so I'll only say it maybe once or twice, but that's, where there's money, there will always be people there to make it. And it's up to us. I said earlier, it's up to each individual person what they choose to believe. It's also up to us to be discerning. And there are some things in the paranormal world that, which is what I'm looking at more often. Like, if it has all capitals in the YouTube description, I don't click on it. I'm sure I've missed some good videos that way. But why, if it's, don't capitalize. Like, you're just looking for clickbait and all of that. If it's something where it's like Forest Investigation Part 1 and it's like 38 minutes long. No, I don't have that kind of attention span. If it's a most haunted place ever or demon attacks or we have a place that we've investigated once or twice where they told us they had somebody come in and they did a regular investigation. They liked the group. And when the video came out, one of the rare times somebody did publish a video, the title was like Demon House. There's no demon. There's never even been in thought of a demon. There's not even a negative entity. Most of the ghosts there are children. But you got to get those clicks, man. Got to get those clicks. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my videos would get more views if I capitalized everything and tried to clickbait and divide everything into 26 parts. But if the right people who are researching these three important fields, they're doing it to further the knowledge. They're doing it to further the record of evidence. They're not doing it for clicks. And And if you're in any of those fields to make a living and try to retire, you might want to question whether you're in it for the right reason. Authors, I get. People trying to become YouTuber influencers or whatever based off of a grainy video of a Sasquatch they faked with a friend. Sorry, that to me is unacceptable. And it, as I said, it sullies all of the fields of the unknown. So I guess the question is, you know, is there any reputable evidence? And, you know, and when it comes to you know, Bigfoot, I talked about how there's not a lot of evidence that appears to be high def or not a lot of reason. But, you know, just remember, as it pertains to that particular topic, the absence of evidence is not it's not evidence of absence. You know, just because, you know, you don't see what you want to see doesn't mean it doesn't exist. We all have to keep an open mind on that. And it's interesting to me because the three fields have similar types of proof, but are scrutinized in a very different way. Like, if I'm willing to accept a light anomaly or an EVP, or electronic voice phenomenon, as evidence of spirits, then I should, in the same way, accept a blurry photo of a Sasquatch or a blurry photo of a flying disc as what they are showing themselves to be. But I don't, and many people don't, and I don't understand. I mean, I know I'm guilty of scrutinizing evidence of UFOs and Bigfoot way more, and I don't understand because why do we set different limits of requirement of proof? This is something that through researching this episode, I actually need to work on. You know, it all comes down, as I said at the beginning, all these conversations are full circle. It comes down to what you believe and what each individual person believes. That's where these things get tricky. The conversation then circles around and we end where we began. So what's the connection? Why are these three things connected? The question that the whole crux of this episode has been around. And what it comes down to in the end, they're connected because the people who investigate these three things have a lot in common. They're people who want to learn things that are on the fringe. They want to know what hasn't been known. They want to explore what you can't see. They want to understand something that may never be understood. And because those are the qualities of folks who investigate the paranormal, who investigate UFOs, and who investigate Bigfoot, that's why they're connected. I think that's why folks just assume it. Because, like, well, you know, if you're into this, you must also be into this. And I get it. It's the same kind of people that are involved. And that's really, at the end of the day, is what it's about. Like, I should go to that get-together because even though the subject matter is different, the spirit of it is the same. The spirit of the people, the desire and the yearning to understand is the same. We are the same, regardless of what it is that we are most passionate about or if we've isolated that passion to one particular area. It's all the same. It's all about discovery. It's all about finding the next step, finding out where we came from and where we're going, which is what all three also have in common. Is the missing link something that we have evolved from? That is where we came from. The paranormal, spirits of those who used to walk among us, that is where we came from. UFOs, maybe that's where we're going. Well, some of us may be thinking about going with the UFOs, but we're too busy running around New York. We just released our latest investigation video from the Omen Theater in Lyons, New York. Want to thank them again so much for having us. I love investigating theaters, and this one was a ton of fun. And if you haven't seen that video, I will put a link in the description. Go check it out. It was a great location. It was a great time. And it was an interesting place, and I'm fascinated by buildings that have the original of something. And I mean, they had the original seats in the balcony, and it's, you know, 110 years of people sitting in these seats, and you almost feel like you're sitting with them. And there's a lot that was going on there. We caught some good evidence, and I said at the end of the video that I figured there was energy there, and that I didn't think it really knew what to do with us. And after looking at all the footage and releasing the video, I stand by that. I think in a lot of cases when you investigate a place the first time, I think the spirits have to warm up to you. I mean, dealing with the dead isn't that much different than dealing with the living. So you're a stranger. And the first time you go somewhere, the evidence sometimes isn't as intelligent. It isn't as close to you. It occurs further away from you, which is why I'm glad we have a bunch of cameras sitting around. But there's definitely a lot going on there. And I get the feeling that the spirits were standoffish, and follow-up investigations would definitely get more. But the stage was where it's at. And what's interesting is, if you watch the video, you'll kind of notice us turning toward one corner of the stage. You ever just feel like you're being watched? And that's what it felt like. The one corner of the stage, it felt like there was someone peering around the corner at us and never caught anything. But, you know, when you turn to one place that many times, you know, after a while you go, yeah, there's something. Just hope we caught something, because there's definitely an energy there. There's something going on over there. And we went over it and looked at it and investigated it. Didn't catch anything, but that doesn't mean it wasn't there. Again, the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence, as we said before. So, great location. Definitely worth checking out that investigation video. And a funny story that's not in the investigation video, I like to peel back the curtain a little bit when we do these deep dives on the podcast. There is something that happened during this investigation that really was one of the funniest now things. When we were looking in the projection room, now the projection room is on in this balcony in the second floor, and Margo and I were up there, and Emily and Rhea were on the stage doing a Phasmabox session. And I said, you know, let me just check out the projection room. It's too loud to get any real quality evidence, but I wanted to go in and maybe say something to camera and just say, hey, this is the projection room. Look at this place, and hang out in there and just get a feel for the energy of the place. As I'm in there, I hear the steps leading up to it. I hear footsteps on the steps leading up behind me, which is awesome. And I turn to the camera, and I turn, and it's Margo standing there, and I nearly jumped through the ceiling. Because of how loud the projector was, I couldn't hear her if she said, hey, I'm coming up behind you, which is normally what we do. Even if she said it, there's no way I could have heard it. I only heard her footsteps when she was about a foot behind me. And it's just an example that, you know, sometimes we scare the heck out of each other by accident. And it's funny, that startles me more than any spirit ever has. It's that stuff where you turn around, because you never turn around expecting to see a full person there, ever. It never happens in paranormal investigation where you turn around and there's somebody standing there. So when it does, you know, your brain is not expecting it, so you jump, and we all got a good laugh out of it. And you know, Margo now knows if she's going to come up behind me to be a little louder about it. But that was something that didn't make the cut in the video. But again, you know, we take what we do very, very seriously. We do not take ourselves overly serious, which is a major problem in any field of the paranormal that you can find, including the fields that I have talked about in this episode. We all should probably take ourselves a little less seriously. So we have a lot of investigations coming up, 3 over the next month. It's going to be very, very busy, but we're very, very excited about it. 3 very different places. And we look forward to sharing all of that with you and sharing our journey as we always do, including continued episodes of the podcast with some new interviews coming up in the next couple episodes, some stuff I hope everyone will be interested in. So, you know, just to put a lid on everything, regardless of what your preferred field of interest or study is, ideas that capture the imagination will always spark interest. However, you don't have to have interest or be an expert in all aspects of the unknown to be a paranormal investigator. It's okay to specialize, to pick and choose, like what you like. Just always be willing to learn more about what you may not understand. Wouldn't it be nice if the whole world worked like that? It would definitely feel more normal. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next time on the Paranormal Podcast.